it going? Hey, Debbie. Oh, everybody having a decent Sunday. A little rainy all day. Settling into winter, though. Getting used to it getting dark really early. It's kind of a drag. It's kind of a drag, but it's alright. So you guys saw me put that Claire isn't going to be joining us. Yeah. I kind of wrote a check that my butt couldn't cash, or however that goes. Yeah. What, a week, 2 weeks, probably, before Claire? Before you and Claire?
Mom says this Tuesday.
Yeah, I don't know. It's one of those things, like, every so often I get reminded how little control and little power I actually have around here. Yeah. All right, what are you going to play first?
My new one.
Silas has a new song for us. Andre Bay. I was thinking about something funny with you today. All right, you guys listen to Silas.
All right. So, this new song that I am going to play is one that I've actually known for a while. But I didn't realize that I hadn't played it. I learned it, and there's a intro that I hadn't known at the time, and so I didn't play it. And so I learned it, and I forgot to play it. This is called Simple Song by Passenger. From breaking is a simple song. It's never gonna turn, stay around, stop your heart from breaking. Here's just a simple song, nothing right or wrong. You can sing along if you want to. Well, I know it's nothing simple. Simple ain't worth singing about. Well, I know. Time goes slow, but it's always running out. Here's a simple song, won't stop the rain from coming down, stop your heart from breaking. Here's a simple song, never gonna turn and stay around, stop your heart from breaking. Here's a simple song, nothing right or wrong. You can sing along if you want to. Well, I know it's not been easy, but easy ain't what I'm singing about. Well, I know it's time to go, but I can't find my way out. It's a simple song, won't stop the rain from coming down, stop your heart from breaking. It's a simple song, won't stop the rain from coming down, stop your heart from breaking. Simple song, nothing right or wrong. You can sing along if you want to. You can sing along if you want to.
Thank you.
Thanks, man. Appreciate that, Stud. Oh, that's kind of a cool little interesting tune. I haven't seen if Dave I haven't seen Dave Barnes pop on yet. He asked me about Social Security Bar. Emma Durock was talking about it too, and Andre. Holly Pyer been in PJ since 5, huh? Yeah, man. That can't be that bad of a life. That really can't be that bad of a life. So I got Dave Barnes asking me about Social Security Bar. And Susan Mitchell asked me about the COVID freeze or COVID lockdown. Isn't it interesting? Last time I was on, I brought up the topic of like reclosures, you know, reclosing transient lodging, and who thought that was a good idea or not. I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised that this is what ended up happening. That we just get a blanket, you know, shutdown from the governor. So. Social Security Bar, though. Hopefully Dave's on and I just don't see him, or he's going to catch us later. And Emma Durock, you're watching. And Emma, it wasn't that long ago, I think one of the last commissioner meetings that I watched, I put together that your husband is the parks guy. I didn't know that, so that's interesting. So, Social Security Bar, just for kind of a recap and a bit of a history lesson for those that don't really, that don't have really any knowledge of it. I wasn't around here then, obviously, but when Social Security Bar first kind of came about or whatever and got its name, it was called Social Security Bar because it was, you know, locally it was understood that that was where old guys could go to fish, right? Instead of them having to put up with a bunch of young guys using their fishing spot, that social security bar is where all the old guys went, and all the younger people were, you know, expected just to go further upriver and go find a new spot. The city was gifted a chunk of ground by Social Security Bar that is used as the access, the public access, and onto the bar there. Yeah, Holly, I know. I'm not surprised. It sounds fabulous. I get that whole, like, the grass is always greener on the other side bit, but man, what it would be like just spending some time not really accountable to, you know, other people and just being on your own timetable and everything. Crazy. Anyway, so in years, In recent years, since I've been here, I mean, I fished it, and I've seen a lot of different sorts of people on that bar, so it's still called Social Security Bar. Since I've been on the city council, it's been one of those deals that, like, every 3 years, 4 years, the access is brought up in the context of neighboring property owners wanting that access to be gated. So what happens on Social Security Bar, it's close to town, right? And so it doesn't take long to buzz up there and spend the night kind of partying on the bar and running up and down it and tearing it up with whatever 4x4s and dirt bikes and stuff like that. And camping up there, and there's been some homeless kind of camps, larger camps up there too. And so the residents around there, you know, they have to deal with that, and it's kind of an ongoing thing. It seems like it gets real bad, and there's a lot of activity on the bar, and you get a lot of the neighbors complaining, and that's usually when it's brought up to the city. And then sometimes it'll just be quieter. But if you can imagine living there, having to listen to late night our dirt bikes and stuff going up and down the bar, party bar. So every few years it'd be brought to city council asking us to put a gate across it. And so far, I think there's been some, it hasn't totally been like unanimous or anything, but definitely the consensus of the city council has always been to keep it open and not have it gated. There's been different options kind of like thrown at us of obviously having the gate open during operating times and closed during non-operating times. But It was always just, we were always afraid, we never wanted to gate it. You know, one, it's the pull-out spot for boats. People drifting the river on a drift boat pull out Social Security bar. So during the fishing season, you know, they'll be dropping a rig off at Social Security, like, you know, early in the morning. So they're actually starting further up the river right when the sun comes, you know, right when it gets light. So we never wanted to impede that. We were always pretty adamant about public access, keeping it open. So kind of in addition, those of you that know what it looks like up there, just that big entry area, that big kind of half paved, half gravel pothole area that you drive on down to the bar. So to the, I don't know if that would be east, but on the like upriver side of that cleared out piece of property, on the upriver side where there's still trees and stuff, there's a sizable chunk of ground right there that is part of the city's property right there. And hey, Susan Mitchell. And the city just kind of hung on to it. We've looked at different things over the years. We've looked at putting an RV park in there, having like a camp host and having an RV park. This is kind of going off memory. I want to say the plans that I saw drawn up for it, it was something in the neighborhood of like between, I think it was like 14 or 17 RV spaces or something. So it wouldn't be a big, it would never have been a big park. But honestly, we settled on, I think the last time we seriously considered that was probably 4 years ago or 5 years ago. And we just thought, you know, it's not necessarily a, it's definitely not a, an essential service that the city provides. And it wasn't really something we felt like wanting to get into. But the county, and maybe Emma DeRock or another county person can help me remember the name. The last parks director for the county, I'm drawing a blank. He was a younger guy. He was probably about my age. He was kind of short. I think his first name was Josh. I'm pretty sure his first name was Josh. And, oh, there's Dave Barnes, right on. Dave Barnes, hopefully you've Josh Hopkins. Yeah, bang, right on. So Josh, at least from my perspective, and I think that perspective was shared amongst the city of Brookings, that Josh seemed pretty gung-ho about wanting to expand county parks, you know, the county park inventory, and was taking some pretty aggressive steps, I thought, to make some more parks. And so he came to the city and was thinking about doing the same thing, you know, given an RV park, you know, taking a run at that. And over about 4 months, because Dave Barnes, you asked me how far it went and everything. Over about 4 months, we negotiated a lease agreement. You know, it was the dollar a year thing, handing that area of the property owned by the city of Brookings, handing that to the county to make a park. We did some stipulations on it. First and foremost, because of everything the council had been through before on the access to Social Security bar, we wanted to make dang sure that access was going to remain open and that it would be freely accessible. And everything else, they could do it. You know, they could do their park. Dave Barnes, how much would it have cost to install the infrastructure for those 14 to 16 spaces? So I don't remember exactly. When we looked at it, I want to say it was, I could be way off though. I could be way stinking off. I wanted to say just to kind of like develop it into RV spots, it was only a few hundred thousand dollars. But like I said, man, I could be way off. Josh, Good evening, Susan McKinney. Josh, in talking to us about it and hearing him and why he wanted it, he was confident that he was getting grant funds for the development of the park. So when we left it with the city council was okay with the draft lease agreement, and I want to say I'm pretty sure we even voted to approve signing it, and then it stopped there, I believe, and then Josh left. I'm pretty dang sure. I bet way more nowadays. Well, yeah, maybe. I mean, it wasn't that long ago, Holly, is a thing. And I saw, like, so some of the comments from Andre Day on your thing, Dave, about it getting flooded every year. I mean, that was part of the discussion. I mean, Josh was definitely aware of where the ordinary high water line was and what area of the property could be used and not. I remember Josh being pretty adamant that he was going to be able to grant fund that whole thing. So after Josh left, I remember asking the city manager about it when I found out that Josh wasn't there anymore. And that was a while ago. That was quite a while ago. And I think the answer that I got was that she wasn't sure, and it was just kind of a wait and see thing. So that's interesting, Dave. When I saw that question, I thought, oh, really? Right on. They're going to talk about that again on Wednesday. If I had time and if I could be there, I would be there to talk to him about it. You know, I don't know, without Josh there, Josh is really the only one that ever had communication with the city of Brookings on it. I mean, at least like the city council. So I don't know what their, I'm not sure what they'll be, how they'll be feeling or what they'll be thinking with that whole thing. I'm generally supportive of the idea, and especially if they can get it grant funded, why not? You know, it wouldn't be a huge park, and it's be real seasonal, and something that I was pretty interested in doing was just having that area, having that access point developed a bit more, cleared out a little bit, and a camp post there. Much of the issues that, like law enforcement issues, noise issues that happen on the bar, that would be curtailed quite a bit with a park host, I think. I mean, it's obviously different things can happen, but I think that a camp host there would have helped solve a lot of those problems. Is the BOC receive a signed contract on Brookings? Yeah. So my memory serves me correct. I was pretty sure we actually voted to sign it. But it'll be interesting to see, Dave. And if nothing else, I'll watch that meeting. I'll talk to Janelle about it too Monday to see if she's going to go up there. I would imagine that somebody from city staff is going to be up there. It might be Jay Trost from our parks. But it's interesting, and I'm interested, Dave Barnes, to hear your take on it. I guess I'll hear public comments from you when I see the meeting. It's an interesting thing. And then Andre, you mentioned about, you know, the last time you heard about it was a while ago and nothing came of it, and something about the road. City of Brookings doesn't want to take care of the road anymore. So city limits goes to the, I know a lot of people aren't going to really know what this is, but the Triple Mahar property. So if you go up the north bank, maybe a mile and a half, there's a big chunk of ground on the riverside that is flattened and cleared, and I think it even has like a couple of like old concrete pads underneath of it, you know. And when that property was annexed, it brought city limits line out a little further. But Social Security Bar that far, that's not city limits, and we definitely don't take care of that road, and can't imagine us ever having taken care of that road. Can't speak for him, but don't know if new parks director has much of an appetite for it as Josh has, but don't know. Dave Barnes, that's what I would have guessed. I kind of assumed that, you know, a new parks director comes and priorities and things change, and yeah, he could have a different look at it, take a different look at it, and arrive at something totally different. So maybe, you know, whatever, I get that one. I wouldn't hold it against them if they decide to bail kind of on the plan. It's just a shame. It's there and it's not doing anything. And it'd be, I don't know. I like stuff being used. I like things, you know, being used. So that's that on Social Security Bar. Yeah, we'll see. We'll probably talk about it again. So Susan Mitchell asked me about if we're freezing on Wednesday, freezing, shutting down. So, I mean, again, this is one of those deals, kind of like the first time, where I really hope everyone just, you know, reads it and knows exactly what it says and what it says to close and what doesn't need to close. And again, it's one of those things where this is from a governing authority that's not the City of Brookings. And we won't play any role. We didn't play any role in coming up with the rules or imposing the rules and enforcement. You know, we don't play much of a role there with enforcement either. According to the contract, do we need cash improvements? No borrowing allowed. No borrowing allowed, like loaning on it. I digress. Lockdown. There's some ambiguity in when I read through it. It says how like gyms, gymnasiums, recreation halls, indoor and outdoor recreational facilities need to be closed, and it gives all these other things that need to be closed and new rules. But then it mentions how outdoor recreation can stay open. So just reading it at like face value, I can't tell by reading that if like the City of Brookings city parks need to be closed, you know, if the ball fields need to be closed, tennis courts and things like that. Like, I don't know, that's going to be a legal advice thing. I wouldn't be surprised if it kind of happens like the last shutdown did, where we closed, like skate park was closed and tennis courts were closed, things that were fenced off, fenced off, and there's a gate and you close the gate and put a lock on it. That's I wouldn't be surprised if that's what happens. But, and you know, everything else, I mean, it's just kind of going, it's going back to lockdown. You know, I was happy to see that that a lot of personal services like barbershops and stuff like that can stay open under the guidelines that they're already open under and already doing. So I don't know. I'm trying to wrap my head around it all. You know, personally too, as far as what I do and what my family does. And I know the whole, like, you know, the whole prohibiting, what was it, like more than six people and can't have more than two households or something inside of a house, you know, like, and Thanksgiving dinner and all that. I don't know. I find myself in this quandary. One, on the one hand, I recognize the severity and most likely the incredibly lengthy duration that COVID's going to be around, and the possible severity of it and the possibility that it has to make a bunch of people sick. And on the other hand, though, looking at the facts and exactly what's happened and from the beginning what it was we were worried about with the, you know, putting such a burden on medical facilities that they go over capacity, and a lot of people end up not being able to get medical help, right? The whole flattening of the curve thing, you know. And so here we are months down the road. A big curve didn't really happen yet. COVID is here, and it is in the area, which is, and so Dave, I was thinking about this a lot when we were talking about closing transient lodging, you know, so we're no longer a kind of a COVID free area that we want just to be buttoned up real tight and not let anybody else in, right? I mean, COVID's here. COVID's here, and it's about managing the spread of it here. So I don't know. I hate. I don't. It's not that I hate, but things like this, where I don't really even know how to explain this, but. So, like, if I say something about COVID that seems to even hint at maybe it's not as severe as what some people think it is, then boom, Jake throws all COVID away, doesn't care about COVID at all, you know. Or if I mention something that seems to imply that COVID's kind of serious, I like all of a sudden lose a bunch of folks that are just real liberty loving people and don't want to wear masks or something, right? Or like, okay, here's a better one. The general understanding that because I'm mayor, it would be good for me to have a picture taken wearing a mask. Like when masks first came up, there were a lot of people that, you know, thought like I should wear a mask in public and get my picture taken because everybody cares what the mayor does, and maybe more people will wear masks if they see me wearing one or something, right? So that whole it's a weird place to be in. In reality, though, I know, like, I'm not going to ask anybody to do what I'm not going to do. So if I have a family of 7 or something, and we all want to have Thanksgiving together, I mean, obviously, like, we're all going to be in the same room having Thanksgiving together. You know, if it's, I have a 6-member family, and I have, you know, my pops over and he brings a friend or two or something, it's like, I don't know. I'm not going to break my family up, or I'm not going to, obviously, if we're all sitting around a dinner table eating turkey, we're not going to wear masks, and we're not going to all be sitting 6 feet apart, and we might go over the number, you know. But how I balance that, and how we balance that as a family. I've settled on, how long have you been mayor? And you haven't learned to speak out of both sides of your mouth yet? Yeah. It always was such a drag because it always just seemed really silly to me. Like, there are certain things that I'm not supposed to say because I'm the mayor, and if someone heard me say it, they care so much about me that it's really going to influence what they think or what they do, you know? So I need to, I don't know. It's like if I had a picture of myself taken with a police officer, you know, how that would be interpreted. If I had my picture taken with a lady holding a Biden sign or something, you know, and it's just like, I get really tired of that. Because there's logical things, and it's okay to look at things logically and not just from one side or something. So I'm looking at COVID restrictions and how we do them and how we work this all out. I play by the rules that are given for the most part, you know, and I try to think logically, and you know, if I get too close to somebody, they can catch something from me. You know, it's like, I always just trying to stay away from people enough that they don't smell me. You know, that's a thing. I was used to that for a decent portion of my life. I got used to my personal space being kind of being more distant than others because I didn't want them to smell me. Mary Pridmore, is your dad part of your pod? Part of my household? No. No. And, you know, I mean, I'm not really going to have an issue. I've already shared that my family and I, we are traveling to a yurt for Thanksgiving. And so it's going to be, we're not going to really have the issue, okay? But if we're having Thanksgiving in Brookings and we don't have much family here, but I have my dad here. And if, you know, so he's a household, I'm a household. If he wants to bring over a friend, that would put us over, right? Because we're six, he's one. Or no, I think I might have my numbers wrong. I don't remember. Sorry. You know, Holly, I keep hearing about how things were back in the day and how things were always, you know, they're always so much better back in the day, but I really wonder if that's totally accurate. Because I'm old enough to have heard stories from some of the old folks. Like the reason why that caught my attention is because it came up recently. I was listening to somebody that was part of a sheriff's race. It was for I'm trying to remember the old sheriff's name before. Before there was the guy that resigned, the guy that kind of got in trouble, he resigned. The one before him, he was a Brookings cop too for a long time. Anyway, I'm listening to somebody that helped him run for sheriff and hearing the stories, and it's like they were dealing with the same kind of drama stuff back then, and that would have been 45 years ago. Yeah. Anyway, let's see. That made me kind of lose my train. So I think we are, I mean, as a family, for that 2-week freeze, like there's a section of it that's kind of holiday time. So it's not really affecting us a great deal. But we've decided, as long as my wife is on board with it, We're gonna do those 2 weeks like off of, you know, doing normal things that we would still do, like church service, or my kids do a youth group, like a religious youth group thing too. And even with masks and stuff, I don't want to. I know my kids won't follow the rules, I guess is what it comes down to. So I send my kids someplace. It doesn't matter if I tell them to put a mask on, you know, if they're wearing a mask when I leave. I mean, kids are kids as soon as you leave. So we're just going to stay home for a couple weeks. This is an interesting thing, Debbie Salzman. The governor wants to have local police enforce the lockdowns. That's what I understood. So I kind of, I read part of that too. And, you know, Not totally sure what she's talking about. I haven't heard anything. It's not to say that something hasn't happened and I just haven't heard about it. But I don't know how that would work exactly as far as the Brookings PD goes. I would imagine here it would be, I mean, the governor has state police, you know, so they would be the, if she wants to use like law enforcement, police enforcement to help enforce those rules, it would be state cops. Because I mean, Brookings PD, we don't have the time, they don't have the time or manpower to enforce, and like how exactly would they, and you know, it's totally not feasible, not to mention we wouldn't, you know. At the end of the day, like, policy only matters so much, right? At the end of the day, you're still talking about, you know, some cop that's 26 years old and his name is you know, whatever, Brian Holmes, and he has his own feelings about COVID, and the governor's asking for his help or something, you know, to help enforce her rules. I don't know. It's just, it's too unfeasible. Totally unfeasible. I can't see her doing it. Wonder how that works with Pelican Bay employees. Yeah, Dave, I don't know. Have them park at the church and shuttle them. Oh, wait, I missed that one. I want to see that one. It was about the church thing. Have them park at the church and shuttle them in so you don't have too many cars out front. You know, Dave Barnes, and everyone else, about, like, as far as how churches and stuff are getting together and that limiting 25 people. I mean, I don't know what every congregation around town is doing, because I know some of them, like, some of them are going to have a almost 100%, 100% of the congregation is in that risky demographic. You know, they're old. Presbyterian Church comes to mind, and I would imagine they're going to be pretty strict on their precautions or whatever. The congregation I go to, and most that I'm kind of more familiar with, you know, they, at least leadership in those congregations, they open the doors at a certain time and express what the rules are, you know, but expect people to kind of, you know, be there, hold themselves accountable to whatever bar they hold themselves accountable to. And I'm not so sure. I've never seen a congregation like count heads or close the doors when the room has met that occupancy. So I don't know. And that's why we're gonna skip for a couple weeks. Okay. So, man, I guess I didn't really talk about a lot. Oh, Social Security Bar too. Yeah, Social Security Bar. Yeah, that ain't bad. I was kind of lamenting about parenting as I was coming on here. Funny thing about weekends, like, weekends are great because you get to spend time with family and everything. And I know some of you will get this, but there are those weekend days where everyone spends too much time together and everybody's indoors for, like, too long and there's too many video games played and everybody gets really cranky. So you got to try to get out. Guys, I hiked. We took, it wasn't really even a hike today, but even in the rain, you can get out quite a bit. So yesterday we went, where did we go yesterday? It was coastal. Oh, it was a no-name bluff. We have kind of it doesn't really have a name. In the rain like this, it's not very cold, right? When it starts raining, it stays kind of warm. And the coastal trails, they're nice when it's raining. Everything's real green and kind of, it gets kind of all like Jurassic-y looking, and there's often not as many people out. So you just dress real light and plan on getting wet. So just rain jacket and let the rest of your body get wet and it's fine. Okay, guys. So until then, I have the workshop on Monday. I'm going to talk to you on Tuesday. And so I know Candace asked about that whole Brookings Municipal Code review, so I'll be sure to chat about that more on Tuesday. All right, you guys, have a good night. Be safe.